Please turn to John chapter 5. And as you turn to John 5, I'll ask you a question. And I ask this with all honor and due respect to the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. So what? What does that mean for us? And we're going to explore that today. We're going to explore that because the resurrection of Jesus is not simply about Jesus Christ being raised from the dead, as joyful and as wonderful as that is. But there is an effect upon us too. But the only way to understand how that could mean anything for us is in God's inspired Word that interprets this resurrection for us and tells us the meaning that it has for us. And so we come to John chapter 5, beginning in verse 24. We'll read through 29. This is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. "Truly, truly, I say to you," teaches Jesus, "whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord our God, this is your word. And I am a sinful man that you have saved and chosen to use as an instrument in your great humility. And Lord, we are gathered here to not simply receive insightful thoughts from a pastor, but to hear the very word of God breaking into this world, to make known the word of God become flesh, Jesus Christ. O Lord God, let no one today leave without hearing the voice of the Son of God and believing the one who sent him. Amen. Years ago, around the age of 21, although I'd grown up in the church, I hadn't really understood that much about Jesus. But I was in a place, I was in a tough place, and I needed help. So I was in this meeting, and there were two young men my age sitting on a couch. I was sitting across from them. I was kind of a part of their conversation, but not totally. So I was looking around. I noticed that one of the young men had a book on the table in front of him. And I looked at it, and it said, "The Case for Christ." And I was interested. And so eventually there was a break in the conversation, and I said, "Hey, what is that book all about?" And he said, "Well, this is basically a book that gives the evidence, the historical evidence, for Christ's resurrection. That there are excellent reasons to believe. You know, if you believe in Plato ever existed, you know, you've got about 1,000 more reasons to believe that Jesus Christ existed, died, and rose again." So I read the book, and that book was transformational in my life. I came to believe that Jesus Christ had been raised from the dead, and what I reasoned was this: if he has been raised from the dead, then he can help me in my dead situation that I'm in. But that was about it. I knew that if somebody's been raised from the dead, it's like, hey, that guy can help me, right? That was about my reasoning. And you know what? That's good. That's excellent. That's a good place to start, right? But there's a lot more than that. I really didn't understand how this resurrection life had anything to do with my life. And I think that for many Christians, we have a very vague idea of how Jesus' resurrection vitally connects with our life in any way. But here's the thing, and this is the message of today's sermon. Christ's resurrection life is our resurrection life. Christ's resurrection life is our resurrection life. Now we're going to begin sort of at the end of what Jesus is saying in verses 28 through 29. Then we'll back it up a little bit and go back to the beginning to 24 and 25. And then we'll finally look at those verses in the middle. So let us begin. What do we need to know about the resurrection first as God's people? Verse 27, or rather 28, reads, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in their tombs will hear his voice and come out." Now Jesus, when he says, "Do not marvel at this," he's speaking to people in context who have already decided they want to kill him. And Jesus is, in essence, sort of defending himself and reaching out to these people who he knows desire to kill him. But he says, don't marvel at everything that I've been saying. For an hour is coming. And when he says an hour is coming, he doesn't mean 60 minutes in some time in the future, right? The Bible uses references to time in different ways, sometimes in more technical fashion, like actually 60 minutes, and sometimes in more general fashion, like a time in general is coming, but a specific time is coming. An hour is coming when all. How many people are all? All. All people. Not just the people who lived in the 21st century, not the people who lived in the 20th century, not the people who lived in the 4th century, not the people who lived in the 4th century BC, not the people who lived in the 10th century BC. We're talking about all people. All people. Okay, an hour is coming when all people what? And that's already intriguing. How are all people going to do something together, right? We're not all alive. So what is he going to say here? When all people who are in their tombs... Oh, wait. All people who are in their tombs. Let me explain something to you. It's not just people who are in their tombs. It's also people who've been cremated and had their ashes scattered on the top of Mount Everest or in the bottom of the Mariana Trench. All people who have died and whose bodies have disintegrated in the grave in one form or another will hear the Son of Man's voice. The Son of Man's voice, the very Word of God, the Word of life, that living voice will raise up everybody who has ever lived from their graves. Of course, those who are alive when Jesus returns won't have to rise, but they will stand at that day and all will come out. This is where we need to start. We need to begin with just a basic understanding that the resurrection is going to happen to everybody. So let's just start here. How is the resurrection vitally connected to your life? Well, it's your future. Every single person in here, no kidding, we're not talking in metaphor or mythologically, all people really will rise from the dead, meaning that's your future. Your future isn't necessarily just going to college and getting a good job and having a family and having a solid 401k and then dying a death in your sleep or something like that. No, your future also includes a resurrection from the dead. Period. Point blank. Everybody. And as Christians, we need to lean into that. If you know that you are going to go on a trip to Europe next year, right? What do you start doing? Well, I'll tell you what I start doing. I start saving my money, right? There are certain actions that I take because I know that's my future. What kinds of lives do we live knowing that that is our future? I think you can answer that for yourself, or maybe this sermon today will help you. All who are in their tombs will come out. Those who have done good, to the resurrection of life. Here Jesus is speaking to the reality that some who are members of God's people, who have lived by God's grace and by the power of His Spirit, will enter into a resurrection of life. This is often called heaven. But by the way, the resurrection isn't just, we're not going to be ghosts. We're going to be physical. And so the resurrection to life is not a resurrection just to heaven in the sky. No, no, no. The resurrection is to life in a renewed heavens and earth. A place that has been rid of the effects of sin. A place that has been rid of the agents of sin. A place that has been rid of the demonic, the unclean, and yet unseen. In that new heavens and earth, we will enter into resurrection life for all eternity. But some, those who have done evil or practiced evil, to the resurrection of judgment. Now, that's what we typically call hell. And hell is a strong word. And it ought to be. But I think sometimes with the word hell, we get this idea that it's like God with the hot poker exacting more from us than was ever fair or something like that. No, no, no. This day of judgment, this resurrection unto judgment, is absolutely fair. Does anybody here care about social justice? Understood correctly, we all should care about social justice because God cares about social justice. God deeply cares about social justice more than anybody in our generation does. Just read the book of Isaiah. That day of judgment will be nothing but pure justice. It will be nothing but fair. There is nothing about that judgment that will be anything but fair. Now maybe some of you are wondering, well, hold on a second. If that resurrection is my future, and that's going to be a fair and just judgment, I mean, not just upon like people who murdered people, but people who murdered people in their hearts, people who've had lived prideful lives in their souls, that's going to be brought out into the open. So all of us are looking at this and like, hold on, I think that of those two groups of people, I probably fit in the second one, if I'm completely honest. So my future is kind of dark. I mean, I haven't done good. I haven't lived perfectly or something. But so we need to take some time to think about what does Jesus mean by those who have done good to the resurrection of life? Because if that's your future, you need to understand what that means, right? Well, let's go back. Let's start in verse 24. Jesus says in characteristic fashion, he is truly, truly, this is something that he did as a rabbi. We don't know of any other rabbi who spoke like this, truly, truly. It was Jesus' style. And he says, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Ah, now here's the key. Here's the key to eternal life. Here's the key to your future being one of resurrection life. It is the message or the word of Jesus. And what is the message or the word of Jesus? The message or the word of Jesus is this. Let's make it simple. He is God become man. And the same one who is God become man died on the cross to take away our sins. What that means is that we face a future judgment, fair judgment, for what we have done wrong. But Jesus went to the cross to bear the sins of the world, to be punished before everybody else for nothing he had done wrong, but for what we had done wrong. All the sins of the world were laid upon Jesus at the cross by the Father so that anyone who believes that He has died in their place can know that as they look to that future day, judgment is impossible because He has already been judged in our place. There is no sin
for which God can hold us accountable if we have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all done. When we look at the cross, we are looking at our future. Because Christ has already been crucified for the sins we would have been held accountable for in the future by a holy, just, and pure God. But the message of Jesus doesn't stop there. The message of Jesus is that He also rose from the dead. God would not allow the grave to have the last word over Jesus. When He rose from the dead, God vindicated Him. He raised Him and recognized Him that He had never sinned, that He had lived a perfect and absolutely perfect life, so that all who believe in Him will also gain that righteous status before God. We are considered righteous in Him. We are considered good in Him. And so when we see this righteous and good man raised from the dead to immortal life, we see our future, that we will be counted righteous in that day. Those who have done good will enter into resurrection life. And so when you see the empty tomb, you see your future. But you know, in the context of the Gospel of John, what John means here in verse 29, those who have done good to resurrection life, he actually does mean those who have done good, relatively speaking, not those who have done perfectly. You see, part of Jesus' message is also this. It's not just that God became man. It's not just that He died on the cross for our sins. It's not just that He rose from the dead. It's also that in rising from the dead, He went to the right hand of the Father in heaven. And having gone to the right hand of the Father in heaven, the Father gave Jesus the gift. The gift above all gifts. The third person of the Trinity. God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, from the right hand of the Father, pours out the Holy Spirit upon us, His people. So that receiving the Spirit, we are now enabled to do that which we could not do before. And so it is guaranteed, not because of our goodness independent from God, but because of the goodness of God working in our lives, that we will live relatively good lives. And that will be recognized in that day too. But the cheer of heaven and all of God's angels and saints will not be because we've lived relatively good lives. But it will be for God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit who has made all of this possible. Whoever believes His word, believes the Father who sent Him. And He does not say, will have eternal life in verse 24. But He says, and believes Him who sent me has eternal life. The resurrection life of Jesus is our resurrection life. It is a possession of yours right now. It's not just that you look to that future day and you know you'll be physically resurrected and you know you will enter into full communion with God and you cannot even imagine how absolutely wonderful it will be. But it's that this, that when you believe, the resurrection life of Jesus begins in you now. The resurrection has already begun. You could use the word spiritually. So that you're looking at a man who was dead until I was 21, spiritually speaking. And then at the age of 21, God raised me from the dead spiritually. And the same is true for all who believe in the Son. That resurrection life is at work in us now, and characteristically what that means is that it is the Spirit working in us so that we become more like Christ, putting off sin and putting on Jesus Christ. And that is the eternal life that has already begun. He does not come into judgment, but is passed
from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. This is that resurrection life that is yours now if you believe. You may not always feel it. You may have come to the early morning worship service and been angry about something yesterday and felt wholly unspiritual. You may be here right now and feel sad or not very high, like it's Easter Sunday. Shouldn't I feel like I'm in the clouds or something? Especially if you're telling me I have eternal life now, the resurrection life is at work in us. But my friends, it's begun, but it has not yet fully come. We have that life, but we still struggle. But just because it doesn't always seem like it's true that the resurrection has begun in you, lean into it. Believe it. And take the sorts of steps that people who believe this wild message ought to in seeking to love God and love neighbor, even when it doesn't feel like you can. You can, because Christ is at work in you. And when you fail, Christ has died for you. And continue in this path of eternal life with the hope of increasing godliness and the hope that one day this trouble will all be over. Verse 26 tells us why Jesus can give this life. It's the beauty of the Father and the Son. This eternal relationship between God the Father and God the Son. For as the Father has life in Himself, God is not dependent on anyone for His life. God has life in Himself. And so also from all eternity, He has granted His Son to have life in Himself. And so the Father and the Son and the Spirit have come to share that life that they've always had with the world, with us, to all who believe. We enter into the very life of God. And He has given Him authority to execute judgment because He is the Son of Man. This is the message of Easter. This is the message of how Christ's resurrection life is our resurrection life now. I've got a dear friend who lives next door to me by the name of Shafiq. He has several wonderful prizes, gifts of God in his life. His wife, his children, his grandchildren. But after all of them comes his fig tree. He loves his fig tree. Once springtime hits, I'm out there maybe about an hour a week talking with him about his fig tree. And when spring hits, what you see is in this dead tree, this tree that looked like basically somebody had stuck a bunch of long sticks in the ground all winter. No life whatsoever. All of a sudden, the sun comes out. The warmth is there. The spring rains come. And you start seeing these wonderfully beautiful, vibrant, vital, living leaves come out with these little tiny circles of fruit that you can begin to see and touch. My friends, this is the beginning. This is what is happening to us now. God has given His life to the world through the resurrection life of Jesus, and we are already experiencing that life now. It is not in all of its fullness. It is not in all of its abundance. But you are showing forth those green leaves and those little fruits right now. It's not just when you go out and you reach people for the Lord, or you go on a mission trip and you convert all of India or something. It's when you say to your mother, I love you. It's when you say to your friend, how can I help you? It's when you say to your spouse, can I make coffee for you? In these ways, these little leaves of resurrection life are being displayed. And it's not just for our own sake, but it's so that our neighbors might come over and see the beauty that God is working in us, so that more and more might share in this life. But you know where it's heading. I know my friend Shafiq knows where it's heading. It's heading to July and August, when you can barely see anything but the green and vibrant leaves and the dark purple and brown and green figs like this that are scattered throughout that tree. That is our future. When we are raised from the dead with the very life of God to live eternally fruitful lives with one another. You have not ever asked or imagined just how amazing your future is. And in the present, I want you to practice praying as those who know the resurrection life has begun. I want you to practice reading your Bibles, sixth graders and seventh graders and eighth graders, reading your Bibles with this in mind, especially the New Testament that declares that resurrection life is ours. And I want you to live your life leaning in not only to the future that is sure, but into the present life that you have now, all and only because of Christ. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we thank you because apart from you we can do nothing. Even the faith that we have is a gift from you. We thank you, Lord, because even the good things that you have that we do, we know are works that you prepared beforehand that we might walk in them. All of our life is only the result of your life. Help us not look to biology for the answers, Lord, for its scope is too limited. Help us look to you, the living God, and the resurrected Son of God, and the life-giving Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.